Hey, and welcome to Happy Hour, the definitive 7th Heaven walkthrough. I'm your host, Morgan, with my good friend and neighbor, Greg.
Welcome all.
Welcome all to episode 216. Season 2, episode 16. I forget what it was called.
It Takes a Village.
Village of quick scenes in quick succession. Anyway, before we get into everything, if you've been enjoying the show, remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes, and if you can, write a little review. It helps more people discover the show because it moves us up in the algorithm, so we'd appreciate that. Plus, we love hearing from you if you've been enjoying the show. We also have an email address, which is happyhour7@gmail.com. That's happyhour, the number 7, the letters TH, at gmail.com, if you'd like to write us a little letter. I forgot, we did get a letter last week. Now I gotta open it up so we can read some fan mail. We got a letter from, sorry if I say your name wrong, Tanise, who talked to us on Reddit a bit before, too, I think. And he said, just letting you know that you two do an awesome job breaking down this show and keeps me wondering, how did it last 11 seasons? A good question. It's unfortunate. Even people on, like, 7th Heaven Reddit are like, how did this last 11 seasons? It gets worse and worse, as I understand it. Anyways, he keeps saying, this episode was a bore to get through, referring to the last episode we did. And the only redeeming part of this was recognizing Simon's teacher as Callisto from Xena.
I looked up some clips of this Callisto, way hotter as the teacher. So much hotter.
Did she have, like, a fur bra and stuff?
No, I think she wore, like, the same sort of, like, metal stuff that Xena did. She looked like just, like, another Xena.
Right.
But blonde. And she had this, like, very evil-seeming smile. And then I found, through the search at some point, there's like a video of Xena laying Callisto die. I don't know. But way hotter as the teacher.
My Xena knowledge is a little lacking and embarrassing. But thanks for writing in, Denise. Appreciate you. And good catch on that 90s. Got a 90s eye there for that teacher. Anyway, what else has been going on?
I had the Chicken King.
The Chicken King, the new Burger King chicken sandwich in the Chicken Sandwich Wars. Yep.
It was good, but if I did a blind taste test, I would know it was the Burger King one immediately.
From the Popeyes one or from
Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, Bojangles, Church's, I would immediately.
That flame grilled flavor?
It just tastes like Burger King.
Probably just like the proximity to just being around a Burger King, which smells like that smoke flavor like, so strongly.
But they put it in the same bag that Popeyes does, and like they try to be very similar.
Oh, I try to have like the brioche bun and all that.
Pickles, I got the spicy one. Except they have like deluxe versions, which I didn't fuck with.
I know it's controversial, but so far I don't think anyone beats Chick-fil-A, and I've been saying
I disagree.
Greg is in Team Popeyes
so
far. But, Popeyes is good, but, I like the juiciness of the Chick-fil-A. I think they brine it in a different way or something. Anyhow, what else?
New Twice EP. That's Mara, Taste of
Now, we can't just have K-pop news
become
a new segment.
Yes, we can. Taste of Love. I'm excited for it. And there's this weird thing where, on my front page of Spotify, it was advertised in this playlist, like, leading up to it. Everything was in English, and then it's supposed to be all of them, like, saying what they think the Taste of Love is, whatever the fuck that means.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to it, and of course they're just speaking Korean, because none of them know English. I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing with this? What does any, like, just, what am I supposed to get out of this?
Having an existential crisis from K-pop.
What is listening this supposed to get me?
I've often said that about K-pop.
Well, music is music. This wasn't music. It was just someone talking about whatever the taste of love even means.
Taste of love is a universal language. I guess it's time for the weather report. It is.
It's raining.
It was raining, but it's kind of just drizzling.
It's still
now.
Raining.
We're in the summer showers portion of the DC weather. Still a shit ton of cicadas everywhere.
Another one of them tried to have sex with me today. Twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're unaware, the Mid-Atlantic is currently being, specifically this particular region of Maryland and Virginia and D.C., is being bombarded with a particular type of cicada that only comes out once every 17 years, and there's literally trillions of them, and
There were enough of them where they showed up on weather radar the other day.
Yeah, they're like, disrupting aircrafts, like, there's a lot of cicadas, all right? And they make crazy noises, and there was a fungus that was affecting the cicadas, which made their butts fall off, basically, and they run around and try to fuck everything in sight. It's like a sex mind virus.
They've tried to fuck my face, my arm, and my dick.
I mean, the arm was a little weird, but the other ones are more conventional. So, that's what's going on over here. Alright, time to get into this mess of an episode, I suppose. I'll just say off the top, many, many scenes, back to back to back to back. My pen would not stop writing. There were so many things to catch up on, so many characters, because this is an episode with the Hamiltons, so there's a lot more characters than we're used to.
This episode's gross.
It wasn't good. It was problematic in many ways.
The Lynn Ruthie scenes made me very uncomfortable.
The whole thing was... It was entertaining in that it was quite a mess. This season is just... train wreck... boring episode, train wreck. I think this is a train wreck one. Anyway, we begin, we're mixing it up. Instead of beginning at breakfast, we're beginning at lunch. So that's exciting. And there's a lunch between Eric and Annie, and Eric's being really weird at lunch about how he doesn't want to, like, hang out with the Hamiltons. He just wants to go play pool with Morgan. And Annie's like, what's your problem and what are you hiding? But he's like, nothing. Mini my sandwich.
He sounds just like that.
Yeah, he's whiny. Then, so they're kind of discussing these plans to hang out with the Hamiltons, blah, blah, blah.
I was wondering what the family get-together was supposed to be if everyone had gone.
Like, they never explained it. Yeah. They were just all supposed to hang out, but then they all found a reason not to hang out, besides the moms and the little girls.
Well, they found a reason, too. They were just forced to hang out.
Yeah. So, Matt and John's plan is to go to the jazz club together. That's their scheme. I mean, I guess it's cool Ven Oak has a jazz club. I think it's the exact same set as the coffee house that Mary sung in, but...
probably.
So that's their thing they're getting out of, and John's like, yeah, we gotta go. It'll be cool. And Matt's like, I might get in trouble, but he goes along with it anyway. And then there's a new guy in school that's hitting on Lucy, and he's trying to do so, we think, by talking about algebra. His name is Scott, and Mary is kind of like, who's that?
So, I remember the plot synopsis we read saying he was actually 18, but only looked 14, but then he ended up just being 14.
He does look 18,
though. But that wasn't the plot
at
all.
No, that wasn't the plot. That was some editorializing.
I was very confused.
Yeah, he's just another floppy-haired 90s.
Because the synopsis said that, like, oh, he's looks 14, but he's actually 18, and he hit on Mary, but like, oh no, he's 14, but not. But like, he's just 14, and he hit on Mary, and it kind of worked out. There was no drama there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was some confusing situations. But... Next, we find out that Gabrielle Union...
You forgot to say what we were drinking, or I'm drinking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Rewind. Greg is drinking a Paloma I made him, which consists of our favorite tequila, Cazadores, how do you say it?
Reposado.
Reposado. Some squirt grapefruit soda, which I found out is from Jamaica, and a little squeeze of lime juice with a salt rim. So quite easy to make. Squirt we found in the local Safeway, so not a hard soda to find. It's a grapefruit soda.
It's a gross name for a soda.
Kind of. Yeah. I remember there used to be, like, different flavors of squirt. It was kind of like Fanta, you know, but you'll never see them anymore.
I think Molly really liked squirt.
Yeah.
It's just gross to say. I don't like saying squirt.
All right, well, you can stop doing that then. Anyway, back what I was saying. Gabrielle Union is back. She plays Keisha, the oldest daughter of the Hamiltons. And she really needs to see her boyfriend, who we learned is named Rick. But she's, like, the parents broke them up or something.
Because this is a Richard situation all over again.
Yeah.
He probably can't read. Her grades weren't doing well, so they had to be broken up.
Yeah, so she's going to sneak off and see him, even though she's not supposed to, and she basically needs Lucy to help her with this cover story, which I don't think they really explain what the cover story is at this point, but it involves the movies eventually.
But yeah, I think they...
Basically, Lucy just said she's going to the movies with Keisha, but she's not.
Yeah, that's the cover story.
Yeah. Well, they are going to the movies, but also boys are there. And then, I'm sorry guys, there's just so many scenes right in a row. Simon and Nigel are invited to a makeout party.
The girl who invited Simon was Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
And I appreciated that she printed out paper invitations and was passing them out. No one does that anymore.
That's the girl whose party it was.
Yeah. like on the like Windows 95 paint, she like made little invitations and printed them out on the home printer.
And she was smart enough not to put makeout party on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Simon and Nigel are invited to that, and then swiftly thereafter, this new girl shows up who's like...
Well, that's who Xenon Girl of the 21st Century is.
I thought that was different than the girl that invited them.
No. Well, but I guess by it's different than the girl who invited them, but then Xenon tells him, oh, I told her to invite you, so that's what I meant. Him invited.
And she's like, so it's a date. And yeah. Simon is a little flustered by this.
She's really cute.
And Nigel's like, good going, player, or something like that. I think he said something like that, like, ladies man, or I don't know. It's like, look at you. Because Nigel already has a girlfriend because he's cooler than Simon. I forget her name, though.
Like, I don't think Donna she ever had something. A name.
He did say it in this episode. So then we have a little scene with Eric and Morgan being, like, sneaky weirdos on the phone, and we don't really know why they're doing that so much, but they're like, we're going to say we're going to the pool hall. But we don't know why they're being sneaky at this point. Then Lucy is talking to Annie, and she tells a lie about, like, how she's going to the movies with just Keisha, but we know that's not true. I thought it was weird that Annie was like, you're only allowed to see a G-rated movie when she's, like, 14.
Well, I guess you can't go into an R, and their theater only seems to have two movies.
One is R, and one is the cartoon movie, quote. But no questions asked, Annie just lets Simon go to the makeout party, so it shows the gender difference.
Simon actively didn't want to be allowed to go, and Annie was like, nah, you should go.
Yeah, yeah. It really shows the way she's like very skeptical about Lucy's movie plans, but Simon can just do whatever he wants, even though he's younger. Then there's a little classroom scene with Lynn and Ruthie where we find out... Wait, I like skipped something. Oh, yeah. This was a little earlier. Ruthie and Lynn basically are in love with this new substitute teacher.
I think six is too young to think an adult's her boyfriend.
I think that is an age that kids do that, because they're just cultured to do that. But they don't really know what it means.
Well, later on, they seem to be pretty clear.
Anyways, his name is Mr. Lim, and they're both trying to get his attention by painting him pretty pictures. And then when Ruthie comes home... She says that Mrs. Jenkins stinks.
Yeah, the lunch lady just apparently smells real bad.
And Annie's like, that's a rude thing to say about the lunch lady. Are you mad about something? And she's like, yeah, Lynn likes Mr. Lim. And she doesn't like her anymore because she likes Mr. Lim. And they're competing over this man.
I think first grade is just too young for that. That's when that
happens. I don't think it's too young for someone to have like a crush on someone's like personality, but it is too young to be like fighting with your friend about it. I think that just seems weird.
No, but that's the age when you accidentally are calling your teacher mom, not boyfriend.
I don't know.
Before she told Ruthie that she was really rude, she asked Simon if he wanted a cookie. He just said no, not no thank you, or
and she was like, what's wrong with you?
But what happened to caring about their fucking manners?
Mm-hmm. True. So Scott comes over to help or do algebra homework with Lucy, and Mary's, like, basically trying to steal him immediately, which is weird.
She puts some really seductive eyes toward his way.
He's like, okay. And then we just had that scene with Annie and all the kids, like, with all their shenanigans coming up to her, and then we have the exact same scene with Patricia Hamilton and all her kids coming up to her about the same topics. In true repetitive Seventh Heaven fashion.
I like the Hamilton's house more than the Camden's. It's prettier. I like the purple.
I mean, generally walls. They're much better than the Camden's in every way. But, Lynn is, I think, hilarious. She's like, I need to compete with Ruthie.
Again, that made me weary me out a lot, too. She's like, spill it, sister.
Give me everything you've got, sister. About, like, she wants tips on how to, like, steal the man from Patricia. It's
first grade, dude.
But the face she made and, like, the cutting and the timing of that scene was really funny. Back at the Camden residence, it turns out that Scott is also trying to go after Mary, and he propositions her in the kitchen for a movie date. And she's like, you're 14, but she wants to do it. So they kind of have an issue with who's going to drive. And that's briefly discussed.
She says you're 14 like 10 times in this episode.
I know, even though she's
15.
Oh, she's definitely 16.
She's only a year older than Mary. Because Matt's 16.
But now Matt's 17. He's going to college.
Not yet.
But he's a senior.
So he can be 16 as a senior.
I think they're all aged up a year birthday. From the start. I think Mary's 16. Then
Mary is not 2 years older than Lucy.
Oh, this always gets us in trouble. I'm trying to do this math. Anyway, if it's just 1 year, that's really silly. Okay. Morgan and Eric are, we find out, going to meet up with someone for a... I can't read my writing.
Oh my god.
Anyway, we don't really know who it is yet, but we find out pretty quickly it's the ex, Patricia's ex-husband, who calls every Valentine's Day, Kevin. I just want to say, Kevin is the race that we thought he was. That was discussed at the time. but we don't really know anything other than that, except they're gonna, like, meet him at the pool hall or whatever, somehow.
Jump him.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm gonna bring my double barrel, and Eric's like, let's not bring any guns.
Well, this was, like, specifically says, let's not use any gun metaphors, please.
Yeah. Such a nerd. And then, there's a little scene of, like, Matt driving everyone around, so he has to drop off Simon and Nigel, and then drop off Mary at the movies, and then go to the jazz club with John. But Lucy has found herself to the movies, so she's not in this party car. And I'd like to call a fashion reporter at this time. For Nigel and Simon's party outfits. They really got dressed up with collared shirts, and they buttoned them all up and tucked them in, and Simon had a little vest.
Yeah, you impressed the ladies.
I don't remember. Nigel just had, like, a nice jacket, I think, and, like, a burgundy shirt or something. Mm. Interesting party wear. Did you have any other...
Well, when Scott tells Mary that it goes, like, wow, 3 times, and tells her she looks incredible, I thought she looked fine.
Yeah, I don't even remember what she was wearing.
Like, a brown leather jacket, I guess, and, like, a red sweater.
Okay.
It was fine. It was normal Mary.
I mean, Jessica Biel does look good, though.
It wasn't like, wow. Wasn't her outfit, though. Wow. What? Wow.
Yeah, like, he hadn't seen her just before. So Lucy meets Keisha and her boyfriend Rick, who looks very old. Like, 27. At the movies. And guess what? Keisha surprised her with a double date. Some other rando is there to be Lucy's date.
He's in Lucy's English lit class.
And she has a crush on him.
Yeah, and she, so much so that she pulled Keisha away to very loudly tell her that.
That kid definitely doesn't look 14 either. That kid looks like 23. But anyway, so that's a little setup, and Lucy's not really allowed to date, apparently. So
Jimmy Moon.
I know.
She dated Jimmy Moon.
She did, and then she was, like, deciding between dates, and everyone was voting on it.
Everyone knew this was happening.
I thought she was allowed to date based on all this, but okay. Maybe not date someone that old. Maybe she was kind of uncomfortable, and she said she wasn't allowed to date. I don't know.
She was in her class.
Oh, right.
It's the same age.
He just looks like a man. Anyways, they all decide... it's best to go into, quote, the cartoon movie so no one will find them. I think that's a really dumb reason to watch the cartoon movie. And they did get found in the end, so it didn't work out at all.
They wouldn't have been able to get into Love Doesn't Matter anyway.
Mm, yeah.
Unless...
this lady was Carden.
Well, yeah, unless Rick is as old as you say he is. Then you could have gotten them in.
This lady was a hard ass with the carding. Like, he carded Scott. And he didn't look under... what do you need to be to watch R-rated movie? 16? 18?
I have no idea.
Who cards people at movie theaters anyway? Unless you're, like, literally a little kid.
You can card a little kid. You'd be like, hey, where's your ID, kid?
Yeah, I think that's funny. So, Mary gets dropped off at the movies, and like we were saying, the other movie playing is called Love Doesn't Matter, and Scott can't get in. She's like, let me see some ID, kid. And they have to go watch, quote, the cartoon movie. Why couldn't they just name the cartoon movie something?
No, well, at the on the marquee, it's called Looney Tunes. They can call it that, but they just don't.
That's the only kid movie that ever plays in the show because it's owned by WB.
But they don't call it that for some reason. Like, no one's allowed to say it out loud.
Yeah, that is so weird. So then we have a little scene where we find out where the moms and the little girls are. They're eating at a restaurant called The Shack.
It's the first Shake Shack.
and they're acting like it's not a very good establishment because they can't get their check quickly. I wonder if it's owned by the guy that's like the Liver and Onions only restaurant.
We think then they would get it quickly because they're friends.
Right, but yeah. They might not get what they want to eat. I think whatever, what was the deaf restaurant? The cafe?
Yeah.
That's probably the best restaurant we've seen in Glenoak so far. At least they can give you food and not fuck everything up. So, let's see. There's a very weird interaction between Lynn and Ruthie about, like, wearing bras to impress Mr. Lim, or whatever his name is. And then Lynn says Ruthie's chest is crooked.
Wait, that's how you're going to describe Ruthie? Yeah.
Okay, what do you think happened?
Annie says to Ruthie, Ruthie, you've been wearing your jacket the whole time. You got food all over. Take it off so I can get the food out before it stains. And she takes her jacket off, and she just has huge boobs. It's really fucking weird and uncomfortable, and I hate it.
I didn't even notice that because I was taking notes. but apparently they're crooked, which, you know, my natural boobs are crooked. I don't care. It's
the,
a look.
The six-year-old just... What the fuck am I watching?
This show... Some of these things, I don't know. But that kind of just gets brushed over.
Yeah. The moms just don't even... It's not even that it's funny. They're just like, oh, I guess that's what the girls are up to.
Yeah. So we basically learn that everyone's going to the cartoon movie, including the moms and the little girls. So now we got the moms, the little girls, Lucy, Keisha, their dates, Mary, and Scott are all in the cartoon movie. But they haven't seen each other yet. Back at Simon's makeout party, someone convinces the parents to leave the basement so they can put on slow 90s jams.
I don't even think that was the basement. I think that was just, like, the main foyer.
Oh. They put on 90s jams, like, literally, like, Mom, This Is Delilah ballads are being played.
At first, I was like, well, who are these parents? Like, why are they just closing the door? But then, even if you hurt and, like, oh, kids, you're going to blow your cover. But, like, so what if the kids are slow dancing? I don't think you'd be pissed off about that.
Yeah. And Simon's dancing with that girl that invited
Xenon.
Is that her name?
Well,
I didn't have Disney Channel.
Oh, yeah, Xenon, girl of the 21st Xenon. Century.
This isn't yet the 21st century. At the jazz club, John is singing. Matt is falling in love with John. There's like a fan. Like, Matt is mesmerized by his voice.
So, John's voice was good, but the long close-up on John wasn't the best, because he does weird hand motions while he sings, and it was just... strange. Like, I would prefer the wider shot, more of the club, seeing people enjoy it. Yeah. I don't know.
This whole thing that John is an amazing singer and no one knew about it until literally just now is, like, kind of sloppy.
Well, he blames church.
He's only allowed to sing at church.
Yeah, and I guess those songs aren't really his thing.
Yeah, so now he's...
There's no boys to men at church.
I think you could tell that he's a really good singer, even though now he's stretching out. And then... John, we find out shortly thereafter that he has a record contract. just came out of nowhere, too.
But then we don't even find out from him first. We find out from Morgan, who heard it from a parishioner.
Right. And so he's like, he has to decide whether he wants to go to college, like what's
specifically
he wants to
Tuskegee
do.
Institutes, if that's the only historically black university that they've heard of.
Where is Tuskegee?
I want to say Alabama, but
yeah,
I'm
like
not sure.
The South.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the big thing going on in John's life. I'm like, why not do both?
Yeah.
Well, how long does it take to record an album?
You probably do it in the summer.
Right. And then if it does well, you tour a little bit, but I feel like you could do both.
You should always go back to college, too.
Like yeah, a year I think later it's better to just get it out of the way.
Well, but he's going to be a singer.
Right. So it turns out this whole time we weren't sure if they were actually playing pool or if it was a cover, but Morgan Hamilton and Eric are actually playing pool, and they're just, like, waiting for Kevin to show up at the pool hall, because they've invited him there somehow.
Yeah.
It's weird that
plot. Because Morgan wants to break his knees, but then we'll find out someone already did.
Yeah, so this is, like, one of the most weird and, like, un-PC things we've seen so far. So Kevin shows up, and he uses a wheelchair, as we know from the previous plot synopsis we read, but then Morgan's like... has this look on his face like, oh, I can't be mad at him anymore. And then it goes to commercial. So, back from commercial, many moves are being made in the movies.
the boys are really kind of necking with those girls, Lucy and Keisha.
I thought it was kind of dumb that they went back to a different scene when we came back from commercial. How you leave it like a cliffhanger and then, not cliffhanger, but like...
Maybe they had some more and they just cut it because it was too weird, whatever was happening. we'll get back to that in a second. But back at the jazz club, we find out that John wants some moral support from Matt to, like, help him tell his dad that he wants to decide on music and not going to college. And he's super aggressive and out of character about this.
Well, just because Matt doesn't even want to be there for that awkward time. He's like, you don't believe in my music. And me, he's like, I never said that.
He's also like, I didn't even know you could sing until just Yeah, he kind of goes off the rails a little bit. And then back at the makeup party, they're playing the game 7 minutes in heaven.
7 minutes in seventh heaven.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever played this game?
No, I didn't get invited to makeout parties.
Definitely heard of it.
Yeah.
Did you ever randomly make out with someone at a party because of a party game? Like, spin the bottle or something?
No, there was one girl I was playing beer pong with and then made out with her later that night. And
that's just normal.
I met her during beer because of beer pong, but other than that, no.
Okay, so you made out with a girl at a party, but not because we're being pressured by some kind of game.
Yeah.
Good to know. Me neither. I can't recall ever having done. Maybe, like, there was, like, a spin the bottle or something in high school, but not. Obviously, it wasn't memorable.
Yeah.
Basically, Simon and the girl that invited him, I don't think they ever say her name.
Xenon.
Xenon. They go in the closet.
No, first. They do, because Nigel says, like, talks about her. She's the best make-outer in school or something.
They go in the making closet outer. Together and. She's, like, really cool, and she's, like, basically, like, we can just talk. She doesn't say that, but it's kind of implied.
Well, she's like, who you like better, the Tick or Red Lightning? Yeah.
They just discuss WB well,
Red Lightning's
comics.
Not real. I don't think Red Lightning is a thing.
No,
The Tick is, but Red Lightning isn't real.
You gotta look it up. Maybe it is. I mean, the Tick's kind of obscure at this point.
You keep going, looking
but,
it up.
But, yeah, so they're talking about that, and Simon's like, oh, I kind of like this girl, and they're just, like, sitting on the floor together, and it's really cute. Then
Red Lightning's not real.
Okay. Then we go back to the pool hall, and I'll just say, Kevin is a very confusing person, and a very bad actor. So he's basically just like, yeah, I've been calling your girl every year, and, but also I'm married. And I've been married a long time. And my wife doesn't care that I call your girl. And Morgan's like, why don't you just show up? And he's like, well, she doesn't know I'm in a wheelchair from Vietnam. And Morgan's like, okay, and this seems to accept this.
Actually, I think Red Lightning is real.
Oh, okay. Stay on task. And this is just considered a normal way to behave. Like, Kevin's behavior. It's super weird.
I think it's where he keeps calling her Patty. Like, as if he's, like, more familiar with her than
he's
Morgan
like,
is.
Oh, I'd love to see Patty.
What great girl.
Yeah. So that awkward thing is happening. We go back to the closet. This girl is just too cool for Simon, and she's like, well, like, we should kiss, basically.
Well, there was first the whole thing where she teaches us about not worrying about rumors or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, she's not the best maker-outer. Some guy just said that.
Oh, right.
And Simon's like, doesn't that bother you? And she's like, no, it's not true. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. I wrote down, this girl is too cool for Simon.
Yeah, she definitely is too cool for Simon.
Some of the coolest people we've seen on the show so far.
But, yeah, eventually she's just like, but hey, do you, like, actually want to kiss? He's like, yeah.
And then they start kissing.
Right before they start kissing, Nigel knocks, like, slams the door, like, Simon, you gotta get out of here!
And Simon just ignores him.
Yeah, well, because he's gonna start kissing.
And then, shortly thereafter, the music stops, and the parents burst in and give Simon a stern look. The end. Ruthie... Now, this is weird.
Oh, this is weird?
Ruthie and Lynn are sitting next to each other in the cartoon movie, and Ruthie notices... what she doesn't know is Lucy making out with this guy, and then she, like, mocks making out with Lynn, and they just think this is, like, a funny joke.
Yeah.
And the parents are like, stop that, watch the movie. But then they realize that it's Lucy.
Well, it takes a good bit. There's first, Mary's like, Annie's like, who makes out in a kid's movie?
Yeah, if that was my kid, yeah. Whatever, do something to him. And then they're like, shit, Keisha, Lucy!
And then Mary is like, oh shit, my mom's
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Mary just like slinks down. And then, back at the pool hall, Kevin has, like, no social graces because Morgan was like, well, if you ever want to, like, come by, like, you're welcome to, like, meet the kids. And he's like, I could go now.
It's like, sure, but if this is the most convenient time, we won't monopolize her evening. I'm doing nothing.
No, here's what he said, quote, I could go home with you tonight. That's what he said. And they're like, whoa.
Can't they, I think it'd be, like, between guys, can't you just be like, hey, actually, she doesn't know I met you, yeah. So we can do, like, a different time,
right? That's what I was thinking, but I guess that wouldn't help the plot along. But... yeah. And so they're like, oh, he's disabled. We have to bring him home. That's kind of what's implied. Anyway.
For some reason, Kevin's wife is okay with him still being hung up on
I doubt Patricia. It. He really doesn't even have a wife. I don't trust this man. He just seems shifty. Okay, so we find out that Lucy's going to be grounded for 3 months, and Keisha is getting that maybe worse. Patricia's not having
Well, Patricia said that she would send her daughter to a convent if she caught her doing that in the movies. And then she did catch her daughter doing that in the movies, so she kind of has to.
And then there's, like, a little more college talk between Matt and John about, like, what to do. And he apologizes for being weird earlier. Whatever. Then Kevin just shows up. And that was weird. Because she was, like, she looked, like, mad to see him. And then she was, like, happy to see him.
Well, cause she had to be.
And I was like, all right, that was strange. I don't know what to say about
that. She's mad at Morgan.
Right.
Well, first they were trying to be, like, the thing that Kevin was worried about where she sees him in a wheelchair and she's like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then he's like, it's me, Kevin!
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Kevin! And gives him a hug. I don't even know what's happening anymore. Related to Marion Scott's date, basically, she just keeps saying, you're 14, you're 14, every time he tries to, like, make a move. And I'm just like, this is definitely Mary's gayest moment.
Why'd you go out with him? I know.
She's literally, just to, like, make Lucy jealous.
She was being so suggestive with him earlier.
And now she's like, you can't touch me, you're 14. Okay, so the moms are both mad at the husbands. Were lying about their pool hall plan.
And he doesn't seem that mad at Eric.
A little bit. She keeps giving him a look like you're an idiot.
Well, he is, but that's different than being mad.
True. And then the episode kind of ends with Matt and John being like sexist twats towards...
You missed another gross part where Ruthie and Lynn go upstairs. Now, Lynn also has boobs, and they're just playing around with having boobs.
I didn't notice any of this because I was writing my notes and not looking
it's
at the show.
It's really fucking uncomfortable and unsettling. I hate it.
So that happened. And Matt and John are, like, really mad at Lucy and Keisha, and they're like, what are the guys going to think of you, like, kind of stuff. Like, you're giving it away kind of stuff, which is just so gross.
And then Eric and Morgan are, like, proud of them?
Yeah, they're, like, listening through the door, like, ah, they're taking care of this. Like, oh my god. What? There's so many problems this episode, I don't even know where to, like, what to talk about at once. It's just flitting from one thing to the other. So that kind of just, like, wraps it up with everyone just standing outside the door while this is happening.
Well, something is said between the wives to the husbands that make the husbands go back to the door. They're like, rather than dealing with their wives, we want to listen to this again. I don't remember.
Unclear. There was a big Ocean Spray promotion in this episode. Did you notice in every scene people were drinking glass bottles of Ocean Spray?
I did not.
Like the little, like, not actual cranberry juice, but like different flavors of like fake juice. Anyways, that was happening.
Like, did they serve it at the shack?
No, but they kept getting it out of the fridge in the cabin house. Oh. Okay, so plot remix. I thought it would be good if we had some information about why Kevin and Patricia broke up. Or were divorced, or whatever. They were married before, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I guess.
We need to know their history a little bit to get the drama of the situation more, you know?
I just wanted there to be confrontation. I didn't like this weird, oh, you're handicapped.
I know, that was terrible.
Yeah, I wanted there to be more confrontation.
Yeah, like, you stay away from my wife.
Yeah, even after Kevin gave his weird reason for still calling Patricia, Morgan could have been like, but hey, could you just not? It really makes my life uncomfortable.
I know. But he's like, I can't because he's in a wheelchair. Like, it's just so weird.
Well, I guess other plot remix. I want the plot synopsis for Mary's thing sounds better than what actually happened. Let's have this guy actually be 18, but looks 14 or whatever the fuck it was. Like, it definitely told us something that was completely different than what happened.
Yeah, I don't even know who writes these synopses.
And then, the John one. It said something about John's friend's gig showing up. It's hard to remember because that was the part that was just unintelligible, garbled nonsense that wasn't words.
Oh, are you ready for some more?
I guess.
It's time to read next week's, and there's two garbled nonsense summaries to read. Next week's episode, which is episode 17 of season 2, is called Nothing Indoors But Change. Wow, very Buddhist. Because Eric's been reading his Buddhist book.
Change?
Nothing indoors.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Change is the only constant.
But indoors? Yeah. Only?
E-N-D-U-R-E-S. Indoors.
Oh, like I thought enduring. You said indoors.
Okay. Oh, that was even more, like, abstract. All right. After Simon's school project, Volcano, is carelessly ruined by brainless Ruthie, it's time for him to move to his own room.
Finally!
Jesus! He's less happy with the isolated attic he's supposed to go to, but Matt agrees to move there and hand over his room, eager to move to an out-of-state college anyway. Wilson calls Mary, but only to babysit Billy, while he takes his date to her prom. That's rude.
Hey, she broke up with him.
I know, but still, she should say no.
Well, maybe not, because she broke up with him. She feels bad.
Maybe that's it. Despite home advice, Mary performs miserably. Yet Wilson returns early, having decided he only wants a girl who tells his family about Billy.
His family makes sense. No, tells their family. Yeah, her family.
Lucy desperately recruits enough big sibling support to get permission to go eat in town with two, quote, cool sisters. What does that mean?
Sisters.
Does it mean they're black?
Oh, I thought they were just sisters with each other.
Oh, it's but cool is in quotes.
Well, maybe they're not cool. Maybe they're slackers. We know that Lucy has a penchant for, Yeah.
Being driven in their car is forbidden, which turns out to be a lifesaver. Alas, literally, leaving a guilt problem. Wow, that is so strange. What does that mean?
Are the girls gonna, like, what?
Maybe they were drunk.
Yeah, or thinking, like, she's not allowed in the car. They're like, okay, we'll meet you there. And then when she gets there, she finds out that they got in a car accident.
Oh, that could be. So she feels guilty that she wasn't in the car accident with them.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense to feel guilty about that.
All right, time for the second one. Simon contemplates moving into the attic to escape Ruthie's annoying presence. That sounds like a Seventh Heaven, like, AI plot. Lucy is devastated when her friend Sarah is involved in a deadly car accident, and Lucy feels that she's to blame for the tragedy. This is the one where the friend dies. This is the really famous one.
The first synopsis made it seem like she didn't really even know these people.
I know. Well, I guess she just met them, and then boom.
That's a lot less drama, if it's not, like, Suzanne or something.
All right, let's see if there's any reviews. I feel like Studio AT would like this one. They like the kind of
They serious... like the Jessica Biel ones.
Right, the serious ones.
Jessica Biel's not really a big part of this.
Ooh, there's two reviews today. Ooh.
This one is not realistic at all.
I told you this was an important one. All right, Studio T is quite brief on this one. 10 out of 10.
That sucks.
A very strong episode of the show with a wonderfully moving performance from Beverly Mitchell as Lucy. Certainly an episode worth watching. I mean, this is one of the main ones I remember from originally watching it, so I think it's a pretty big one.
There are other big ones that sucked.
I know. It's not very often we get one with more reviews than just Studio AT, so those are the famous ones.
The Eddie Bowser one got the second review. Was that a big one?
So Studio AT's was 26th of March 2021, following with their, like, multiple week viewing. And there's another one from username Little One Sunshine from June 29th, 2006. Wow. 10 out of 10. In my opinion, this was one of the best Seventh Heaven episodes ever, thanks to Beverly Mitchell, who plays the character of Lucy. In this episode, Lucy's good friend dies in a car crash while Lucy was supposed to be with her. Beverly acted so well in this episode, and I was truly inspired by her in the particular episode. I really like Lucy's character, and think that when she was younger, as she was in the episode, that she gave the flair to the show that it needed. I was about to say this is the best writer we've seen so far, and then I got confused. This episode was very dramatic and incredibly sad, but it was one of the best. I recommend buying the second season DVD of because this episode is on it, and also because it was one of the best seasons, in my opinion, along with season 1 and 3. All seasons were great, but the beginning of the show was great.
Really rambling, jeez. Thomas Say was really unsettled by the fact that apparently PBS sells third-party DVD players on their website.
That's weird.
I don't think it is at all. They sell DVDs. Of course, they would also have things to play it on.
Most people that sell DVDs don't also sell DVD players.
No, but see, PBS has a lot of third-party stuff sold on their site. So they just let someone else sell DVD player on their site. Why not? They sell DVDs.
Thomas works at PBS, if that wasn't clear. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Any other thoughts before we say goodbye?
I can't imagine how it's going to be inspiring.
I remember this one was good.
How you be inspired by that?
By her acting performance.
To become an actor? You're inspired to become an actor?
Maybe. So, a sad one next week. I'll have to come up with a sad drink for us to drink.
Whatever Ernest Hemingway's last drink was.
A Hemingway? Well, the Hemingway daiquiri.
Is that sad?
No, it's like festive and tropical. I think a sad drink is just like straight whiskey or something.
Oh. Well, that's not really value added for the fans.
All right. Sometimes you're too sad to make a fancy drink, and then you just drink whiskey. You know what I mean?
Are you going
to
be too sad?
Maybe, after watching this one.
Okay, we'll see how you feel.
All right. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.